You know football, and you pick winners all the time, so why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single-game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code CHARLIE, ZULU, ALPHA, BRAVO, ECHO to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, September 16, 2025. Thank you for downloading and welcome to the solo ZabeCast on a Tuesday. New mic, who dis? I switched out with the Shure MV7S combination USB and XLR microphone, and I'm using my Rodecaster Duo instead of the Tascam MixCast 4. Can you tell any difference? Does it sound any different? Any different? Better? Worse? Nobody cares? Nobody cares. Get to the content is what you say. Well then, let's begin with cut one, the glare seen all around the world. I didn't think much of this when it first happened. I thought it was more of a Milwaukee Brewer fan sort of hang up. But Ken Rosenthal of Fox, their bow-tied dandy in the dugouts and on the sidelines, sideline report. Are you a sideline reporter in baseball? Dugout, field side reporter, whose, you know, whole MO is to wear bow ties. He's also a diminutive man. Not that I'm making a big deal of this, but many have said, short man syndrome. There are big-time Ken Rosenthal haters out there. But you know what they say, haters gonna hate. I got nothing against Ken Rosenthal, but this was an interesting incident. As Andrew Monasterio was getting dumped with Gatorade after the Brewers had done a walk-off win to clinch a playoff spot, first team in the majors to clinch a playoff spot. They'd already clinched before the game began, but they walk off the Cardinals, big moment at home, Gatorade bath. Rosenthal's ready to do the interview, and he ducks out of the way of the Gatorade bath, and he backs into a photographer who then falls down on his bum. Nothing major, nothing serious, not hurt, just a whoopsie kind of thing. They were both kind of dodging the Gatorade bath. That wasn't the big deal. The big deal was the fact that Rosenthal did not offer a hand up. Did not immediately go over to go, hey, man, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were back there. Let me just quickly give you a hand, pull you up. But the glare, the look, it's a look. I mean, people are creating memes out of it, such as when a person in a row behind me thinks they're getting off the airplane before I do. And there's the picture of the Rosenthal glare. It was so bad that Rosenthal himself had to go on a podcast, Foul Territory, to explain exactly what happened, which, again, I don't think it warranted this much heat, but it was well beyond just a Milwaukee thing. It was well beyond just, hey, the Brewers feel like they're constantly disrespected by the big market national media, and here's another example. This thing went viral all over the place. So here was Ken Rosenthal explaining the situation on the Fair Territory. Is this MLB at Foul Territory TV, whatever that is?
I want to talk about what happened Saturday night when I accidentally bowled over Scott Paulus, the Brewers team photographer, while I was getting out of the way of the Brewers dumping water on Andrew Monasterio. Now, the ever-observant A.J. Pruszynski joked afterward that I looked like Muhammad Ali standing over Sonny Liston.
Now,
AJ,
one.
Of course, is more experienced in these kinds of interactions than I am. And I must admit, though, when I looked at the video, when I saw this, I was surprised at how upset I appeared. I was more confused than anything. Now, I had to continue the interview. We were live, folks, on national television.
Couldn't stop.
That said, I felt awful about what happened. And afterward, I went up to Scott, who I've worked with in pits before over the years, and I apologized. And I apologized profusely because, let's face it, I don't think that you ever expect knocking someone down is going to happen in any particular situation. So yeah, sure, I apologized. And Fox is doing the American League playoffs this year, so I won't see the Brewers again unless it's the World Series. But if I do see the Brewers in the World Series, I look forward to working with Scott again in the photo pit, and I also look forward to sharing a good laugh with him over this.
Okay.
I want to talk about.
So there you go. That was Ken Rosenthal. Look, it was a combination of things. One was that he didn't offer to help the guy up. Secondly, was that while he walked away, another person near the photog pit did come over to help lift up the photog, Mr. Paulus, who had a bunch of gear in his hands, had a big old telephoto lens, and he had a tripod, I believe. So it wasn't easy for him to pop right up. But just the look was such a bad look. And I know there's a saying, none of us want to be judged on our worst day. And I would extrapolate that to say, none of us want to be judged on our worst look. And I think anyone who has ever been in a relationship with a member of the opposite sex has had a discussion, an argument, in which you make a face that sets the other person off. And you have no idea. You have no idea. Like, what did I do? It's that face. That's why in the movie Step Brothers, you got to change your face. I'll do the best thing that I can. But yeah, okay. No, because right now I just want to punch you right in the suck hole. Of course, that wasn't the only weird thing from the game. Afterwards, Murphy, for the Brewers, their manager, Murph, a.k.a. Patches O'Houlihan, one of the great managers in baseball, a guy that's got a great feel for people, not just ballplayers, that's got a great sense of when to kick his team in the ass, when to hug him, had the following letter from beyond the grave, maybe, from Uke after the Brewers had clinched. Here is what it sounded like in the locker room afterwards.
Uke, I got a letter today from Uke. And before we toast, I want to read it. Thanks, Mark. Thought it was fitting. The last time that we celebrated, Uke was with us. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here. Albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. But you got all the sticky you need to have up here. Told the big guy about you guys. You play hard every night. You're not afraid. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in a group with this uncommon goodness. The fact that you have the best record in baseball, the best road record in baseball, has caught his attention. You don't really need me. I know you guys really don't need me, but I've got to tell you, I'll be on the headset every night watching. And don't forget to take it all in, enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other. Bob Uecker. So let's toast to him and to our team what we've achieved so far. Hey, hey.
Okay, so there you go. Now, look, couple things. One is, good lines in there. You know, the Lord has called me up to be on his team. Granted, I'm a third catcher. But it's a great league. No day games after night, no shadows, and all the stickum or all the sticky that you need. The letter was not real. That's the problem. When I first saw it, I assumed it was Murphy channeling what Uecker must have thought, and that there was a disclaimer that was not part of the original video clip. That's what I assumed. And then I saw this tweet from @Brewers, the official account of the team, and it says, a must watch. Pat Murphy read an emotional letter from Bob Uecker as the Brewers celebrated clinching the postseason. And then a watery, teary-eyed emoji. Now, as I looked at that, I was like, oh, shit. I guess he did write a letter, kept it sealed, and told somebody, either the owner, Mark Attanasio, or Murph, hey, you know, if you guys make the playoffs, I want you to open this. Or when you make the playoffs again. For the 7th year out of 8, which is a hell of a run for a franchise that had made 4 playoff appearances in like 50 years prior to this run. So I thought, it's plausible. But then the Brewers had to put out later in the day on Monday that this was not an actual letter, that it was a way for Murph to include Uecker as they clinched the celebration. Of course, you had in there the road record and details that obviously Bob Uecker would not have known, writing a letter virtually on his deathbed. Well, I wouldn't say deathbed. He died shortly after the playoffs ended last year in horrific fashion with the Pete Alonso line drive home run off of your ace closer, Devin Williams, over the right field wall. He was gone shortly after that. It wasn't like he was in hospice for years. He was battling through cancer, not feeling great, still broadcasting the games. It was quite plausible he could have done that, but it turns out that he didn't. Now, the net-net to all of this is many Brewer fans are like, oh my God. Baseball being a sport in which people are not usually a little stitious, they're superstitious, do not like the karma that this potentially has invoked. And of course, many Brewer fans are already realizing just by the laws of numbers and the way the sport is and the way all sports are, the chances of the Brewers not winning the World Series are at least 70%, even if they're the favorites to win it all at 30% or whatnot. And I don't think they even are the favorites. So therefore, they're already pre-assigning the virtual blame for the inevitable playoff exit, no matter what round it is, on this somehow karmic injustice. I get it. I understand where it's coming from, but can we just stop, people? It's okay to be a little stitious. Let's not be too superstitious. This was a bit of a cringe, a bit of a whiff that I'm sure the team and Murph wishes he had back, but let's not get carried away. Cut 3. Well, then, he must be really good, and teams must really like him. That's what I bet somebody who knows nothing about pro football would say about the fact that Carson Wentz has been tabbed the starter for the Minnesota Vikings this coming Sunday in place of J.J. McCarthy, who has come up with a miracle. Al Chervikian-like injury. Oh, my ankle. It's sprained. J.J. McCarthy, who sucked on Sunday night against the Falcons, couldn't complete anything to his left, which was a known deficit coming into the pros and looked overwhelmed against an offensive line that was not doing a great job, but still. Sprained ankle. Monday, they say right away, out. Not, hey, sprained ankle, he's going to work through it, hopefully be ready by Wednesday or Thursday to do some light work. We'll see by Friday. No, Monday, out, sprained ankle. Furthermore, the second to last play of the game for McCarthy, he's sprinting right, completing a 20-yard pass to Adam Thielen on the run. There is no sign of a bad ankle. Also, he was not touched after the game. He was not touched on the final play of the game. That was the second to last play I saw that. So this is clearly McCarthy benching him without trying to ruin his confidence or draw a lot of attention. But you know it's not going to work because people are going to ask. Then you go, wait, what? Sprained ankle. All of a sudden, out of nowhere? But anyhow, back to Wentz. So this is now his sixth team he will start with in six seasons, which to the uninitiated, to the casual fan, or to the person that knows nothing about football, they might say, oh, he must be really good. Six different teams in 6 years. They must really like him. And you would have to somehow explain to this person, no, that's actually really bad. It means he's getting passed around from team to team on the notion that, hey, I think, you know, he wouldn't be bad as a backup. Yeah, he's got experience, Carson Wentz. This guy was good once upon a time. Let's get him as a backup just in case. Reminds me of the great line from Larry Weisman about backup quarterbacks. And I forget who the backup was for the Redskins the year he said this to me and Andy on the Sports Reporters. He goes, yeah, he's a good backup as long as you don't have to play him. And I go, wait, what? Well, what, doesn't that make him a bad backup? No, Larry's like, think about it. It's a great backup. Just don't play him. He's great in theory, in principle, just like Carson Wentz is. So he'll suit up for the Vikings on Sunday. He played for the Chiefs one game last year, played for the Rams one game before that in 2023, played seven games for the Commanders in 2022, played all 17 for the Colts in 2021. Woof. And he played 12 games for the Eagles in 2020. It is the first time in NFL history that a quarterback has played a game in six different seasons in a row for six different teams. Of course, this is why they wear imaginary dresses. Oh, I'm so sick of these personal foul calls in the NFL. Just let them wear skirts out there. Well, Mike Greenberg, ESPN, says the next time you hear someone complaining about the NFL going too far in protecting QBs, show them the list of projected starters for week three of the season. Okay, let's look at that. Are you ready for this list? Hold on a second. What did I do with that? Oh, yeah. What year is it anyway? This is the list of potential starters in week three. Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor, Matthew Stafford. Woof. Wilson is starting, even though he had a bad week one. He was able to light up a Cowboys secondary that was terrible. Dan Orlovsky said, the all-22 on the Cowboys defense is worse than you think. Completely disorganized, the concepts are all wrong, and the effort stinks as well. Good times in Dallas. They still won the game, though. But yeah, so you got Flacco hanging on because there's no good replacements yet in Cleveland, nobody they trust yet. Same thing for Jackson Dart in New York. They're not ready for him yet. Rodgers is this last gasp of, well, maybe he's got something in the tank. He wasn't very good, by the way, against the Seahawks. Tyrod Taylor could start for the Jets because Justin Fields, like, it's so funny that teams sometimes, that the league and other teams refuse to believe what a quarterback is. Justin Fields has said loudly and without any uncertainty, I am not a QB1. I'm a nice guy who works hard. He's got a pair of wheels. Cannot operate a modern passing game to save my life. Proved it now in two different cities, on to the third. I think he was like 4-for-13 for 29 yards or something horrible when he got benched with the Jets on Sunday. So Tyrod Taylor came in, did marginally better. The game was out of reach, hard to tell. Stafford still is hanging on. I mean, this guy is indestructible. Stafford is like the Rasputin of NFL quarterbacks. He's the modern Favre, if you will, except he has missed time, unlike Favre. can't seem to kill him. But yeah, we're in a quarterback crisis already, and the pickings be slim when it comes to who you could get. First and foremost, let me just say this for the record. No, we're not doing fucking Stonehenge tonight. Hey, Packers, no, we're not trading Malik Willis for anything other than the first, which, by the way, is not even being offered. Because the Packers have this pretty capable backup that they took off the Titans' hands last year and shined up, and he won a couple of games with his legs and his brains for the Packers and has now been in the building for over a year, and you got a Super Bowl caliber team sitting there that is one quarterback injury away from it all going up in flames. No, no, we're not trading him. I mean, you shouldn't be trading him for anything, even a second rounder. Ooh, what if you could get a second? No, it's a future draft pick. It could be anybody. That second rounder could well be a rubber chicken, and it won't come for several years. The time is now. You do not give up your backup quarterback. Insane. But the Packers apparently kicked the tires and thought about it. Apparently the best offer that came in was for a 2026 sixth rounder, I believe. Anyhow, no, we're not doing Stonehenge tonight, and we're not trading the fucking backup quarterback. The quarterback pickings be slim. If you want to look at the league and where everyone is, handy-dandy website, ourlads.com, NFL depth charts. By position. You can probably just Google that. It'll take you right to it. They've got pretty much the whole league aligned just quarterbacks, depth charts. Here's your backups right now. Tyrod Taylor is one. Excuse me, but he won't be. Josh Dobbs for the Patriots. Zach Wilson for the Dolphins. Mitchell Trubisky for the Bills. Mitchell Trubisky. Cooper Rush for the Ravens, Jake Browning, who's going to start for the Bengals. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't put Jake Browning in that starting lineup of quarterbacks this week. Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders behind Flacco. Mason Rudolph behind Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Miles Davis Mills, old long neck, behind C.J. Stroud in Houston. Anthony Richardson on the bench behind Daniel Jones, who's off to a 2-0 start. Nick Mullins behind Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Brandon Allen behind Justin Herbert with the Chargers. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Behind Cam Ward in Tennessee, Brandon Allen. Jared Stidham behind Bo Nix. Gardner Minshew behind Patrick Mahomes. Kenny Pickett behind Geno Smith. Trey Lance behind Justin Herbert. Trey Lance? Ooh, still in the league, huh? Backing up Herbert. Joe Milton behind Dak Prescott in Dallas. Jackson Dart in New York with Jameis Winston. That's the wild card. Jameis Winston and Kirk Cousins are the two best non-awful options, as Charge would say. Non-awful options. But will any team be willing to make a deal for them? Tanner McKee is behind Jalen Hurts in Philly. Marcus Mariota, still in the league, behind Jaden Daniels. Josh Johnson behind him. By the way, Daniels may not play this weekend because his MRI came up with a slight knee sprain. Tyson Bagent, the Honey Bagent, who actually got in for Caleb Williams in that game on Sunday, backing up in Chicago. Kyle Allen behind Jared Goff. Malik Willis behind Love. Wentz is going to start now for McCarthy with his ankle injury. Cousins behind Penix. Andy Dalton still in the league. Andy Dalton behind Bryce Young in Carolina. Tyler Shuck behind Spencer Rattler. Teddy Bridgewater behind Baker Mayfield. Jacoby Brissett behind Kyler Murray. And Jimmy Garoppolo behind Matt Stafford in L.A. Mac Jones, who started for Brock Purdy. Niners got two wins with two different quarterbacks. First time a team has done that out of the gate since 1988 when the Niners did it with Steve Young and Joe Montana. Time is a flat circle. Drew Lock, your backup behind Sam Darnold in Seattle. Do any of those guys blow your skirt up exactly? Answer, no. So, yeah, we're not doing Stonehenge if you're a Packer fan. Hopefully not going to trade him. And it does feel like some of these old dudes are hanging on way too long. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit MyBookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season exclusively at MyBookie.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next cut. Next up, players only meeting. Things are going bad in Chicago multiple ways, and Ben Johnson, the new head coach, sees it. Here's the quote. We're going to have a lot more competition. Just what these guys look like when the ball is not in their hands, that's a big deal for us. There were some plays yesterday that we weren't quite as pleased with that looked like on tape, so we're going to find out this week at practice who wants to practice hard. We're talking about practice. And who wants to be a little bit more involved with the game plan here going into Sunday. Two games in, now we're talking practice effort, next stop, players only meeting. Next cut. Oh, yeah, that whole injury report thing. Forgot about that. Brian Thomas Jr. for the Jaguars had a terrible game. Was alligator arming certain passes, dropped some flat out, took his eyes off the ball, shied away from contact. It was not a good day for Brian Thomas Jr., who had been hyped coming out of his rookie season last year as this is going to be the dude. With Trevor for a full season, look out. Terrible day. Well, his coach, Liam Cohen, I think trying to cover for him, came up with this excuse.
Hey, Liam, when did Brian hurt that wrist? Because he wasn't on the injury report last week.
Yeah, I think it was during the, I don't know when he did it, but it was something that's just been, just been kind of a little nag, you know. I don't think it's anything that's huge. It's just, it's a thing that he's kind of been working through, you know. So, everybody goes through some things, and we're ultimately, it's our job to get to the bottom of it and try to get him to feel good and play at the highest level he can.
Yeah. If he really did have an injury and he didn't list him, that'd be a violation of league rules, and there'd be subject to fines and or penalties. If it's just you making an excuse for a shitty day, stop doing that. Everyone's hurt. Nobody cares. And as they say, if you're suited up and playing, no excuses. It's funny to watch Liam Cohen in his first high-leverage post-game and sort of controversial press opportunities. The job of head coach in the NFL, it ain't just Sunday. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The only day they don't really talk is, and I think they talk on Fridays, but I think they only don't talk one day a week, that's Saturdays. And you got to say the right things, or better yet, say nothing, like Belichick. We're on to Cincinnati, because oftentimes you just make it worse. Herm Edwards, your epic rant is still safe. You know it. Say it, kids. We played to win the game. Hello, we played to win the game. Dramatic, emphatic, impassioned, slightly unhinged. It's a banger. It's a classic. Well, here is Mike McDaniel, Dead Man Walking, trying to channel his inner Herm Edwards. It was not quite as inspiring.
Advising all of the orchestration within our multiple personnel groups. So to win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game, honestly. And that is how you lose the game. You're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical.
What the hell? Somebody said, this sounds like me talking in my sleep.
The game, you're moving the ball down the field. You're first and 10, and then you find yourself at second and 20. That was critical.
And by the way, there's a lot more of this coming out of McDaniel down in South Florida. He was such a darling, wasn't he? For a while when the Dolphins were flying high, scoring a bunch of points, mic'd up for NFL films, cool on the sidelines, talking with the players, high-fiving them. What's up, bro? Let's run a 50-slot J-Cloud hook 90, blah, blah. And they'd go for a touchdown because Tyreek down there somewhere. And now it's all in the ditch. You don't loathe the Chiefs nearly enough. Oh, what, do you hate them because they're good? No, I hate them for a lot of reasons. One of them is that they have no self-awareness. Multiple Chiefs players wore shirts in support of suspended teammate Rashee Rice prior to their home opener against the Eagles on Sunday. By the way, there's no reason to wear a shirt in support of a player who's been suspended. He's coming back, and the judgment and the penalty has been handed down. It's not like he's being persecuted. It's not like he is undergoing some great ordeal. He fucked up. He got whacked by the league. And guess what? He's paying the price. Free 4 is the shirt that they were wearing, both Travis Kelce and others. Do we need to remind people that Rashee Rice was going 119 miles per hour in traffic in his Lamborghini, hitting 6 vehicles, injuring 4, then fleeing the scene? He's lucky nobody died. But yeah, free number 4, Rashee Rice. These are good reasons to hate the Chiefs or loathe the Chiefs. One day later, sorry. I guess it's better than nothing, but looks like somebody woke up and told Brian Kelly, dude, stop being an asshole.
All right, before I get to the game in Southeast Louisiana, I want to go back to the press conference after the game. I've texted with Mike and offered my apology to him. For the way I handled the questioning, I think it's important to understand that my standards relative to how we work with the media on a day-to-day basis need to be higher, and I take responsibility for that, and I'll be better in the future. And understanding also that the way I'm thinking after a game, and we've mentioned this a couple of times in here, the emotions of the game right after it. I haven't watched any film. It's difficult to make those assessments of specifics.
Okay, this is all bullshit. You don't need to watch film to simply say, hey, look, I know it was rough out there at times for our offense, but man, I'm so happy for our kids. They found a way to win this game. Winning in the SEC is really hard, and so that's just what I'm happy about. I can't give you an answer right now on what we did or didn't do in the run game, but we're going to look at it, obviously. We want to be better. We're going to try to be better, but damn it, we won the game. We're pretty happy. Is it that hard? I guess it is that hard for some people. Do you even kicker, bro? This is hilarious. Somebody tweeted, this might be the most egregious fantasy tweet I've ever seen. What did somebody tweet? Quote, Cowboys kicker had 23 points and he's on my bench, crying emoji. this person that posted this retweet said, okay, one, why do you have two kickers? Two, why do you have two kickers when one of them is Brandon Aubrey? And then three, why are you starting the kicker who wasn't named Brandon Aubrey? I remember leagues used to give bonus points if you had individual kickers for 50-yarders. Did they give bonuses for 60 or maybe 70 someday? I believe Aubrey's going to hit a 70-burger this year before it's all said and done. That's funny, though. Bro, do you even kicker? Funniest thing about fantasy, the funniest twist I've seen was there's a league in which the wives draft the players. The wives and girlfriends draft the players. They hold the draft. And the husbands cannot say anything while they're picking the players. But then once they're done drafting, it's the guys who have to manage the team and start sit and waiver wire and make trades. That sounds funny as hell. You've got to manage your wife's wreck of a draft, which honestly might have been better than your draft because it's fantasy and it's fucking random. Suddenly, that play you all saw, guess what? Didn't happen. Man, the censorship attempts of these big leagues is second to none. The NFL has decided they want to play George Orwell here and rewrite history about the Eagles' tush push that was widely seen by everybody as being wildly offsides, with both their guards shooting out well ahead of the snap because they've sent out media strikes and copyright strikes to tons of people on X.com. Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback, Jack Mack, Barstool, and others, where they lifted that video. Now, I haven't checked my X feed. I took a screen grab of the little moment, the crucial moment of the guards firing out, and I just scrubbed it on my timeline back and forth, back and forth. I don't know if the NFL has the ability or has tried to say, take that down. But the fact they're even doing this when NFL highlights are widely shared and NFL All 22 clips are widely shared by anyone and everyone, including John Q. Public, who does not have the rights to the NFL highlight package per se to do their own analysis and stuff on it. The NBA figured out a long time ago, oh yeah, use all our shit. Retweet all of our highlights. Hell, the commissioner admits it's a highlight league. But the NFL trying to go to this length is really kind of embarrassing. Protect Joe Burrow. Wait a minute, too late. Burrow going to have surgery on that big toe, the Sergeant Hulk, a turf toe, no joke. Serious injury that could have long-term ramifications for his future as a quarterback. And people have been saying for years, he's not being protected. The Bengals O-line is shit. Now, I believe they've probably tried like all teams try. They know you got to have a good offensive line. They draft players, they buy players, they coach them up, they scheme them up. Sometimes your O-line is shit. And sometimes your quarterback just is in love with seven-step drops and wanting 3.5 seconds to hit Jamar Chase downfield, and that leads to problems. But by the numbers, according to ESPN research, pass pro rankings, that'd be pass protection rankings, since drafting Joe Burrow for the Bengals, this would be pass block win rate per ESPN's data. The Bengals have been, since 2020, I'll walk you through the years forward from 2020, 29th, 30th, 30th, 27th, 32nd, and 28th out of the gate so far in two games in 2025. Not good. A little bit too late now with Burrow on the shelf yet again. Go to the game, they said. It'll be fun. It's hard not to sit on your couch on any given Saturday or Sunday and see the amazing spectacle and scenes of a college or pro football game with all the vibrant pageantry and the fans and the joy and the screaming and the surrender cobras and the cute cheerleaders with their tiny little stick-on face logos and other stuff and go, damn, I want to be a part of that. Get me in that stadium. That looks like fun. Tennessee was that place. Rocky Top, my God, 105,000? 102,000? I mean, massive college football stadium. And it was filled to the brim, and it was checkerboarded in orange and white fans. And I zoomed in on some of the sections that are like, okay, you're the white section, you're the orange section, make sure to wear white or orange. And inevitably, there's like 10% in each section that didn't get the memo or just didn't care. And I would give those guys such shit. I'd be like, you had one job. You knew our section was orange. You wore white. Well, I didn't have any orange. I was clean. I'm sorry. God, it's just a game, for God's sakes. Looks like the Buccaneers just ran it in for a game-winning touchdown in Houston. Wow, what a dagger. 20-19, your score right now. 6 seconds left. They're going for two. They don't need to. Wow. Been a good game tonight. There's another one, too, as well. Do you like two Monday night games? This is my way of telling you, look, I'm keeping this podcast fresh. I waited all day. I could have put this podcast in the can earlier in the morning and said, I'm not doing any work the rest of today. I'm going to watch some football. I'm here working for you. Okay, now you got the score. But anyway, back to Tennessee. So, looks spectacular. I mean, I had a good friend, Jason Ottom, who was there as guest of one of their athletic directors at Tennessee. Longtime connection going back. Four other dudes. Just a great college football weekend in Tennessee. I've been pestering him like, where's my invite, bro? Anyway, the word is the stadium ops at Tennessee were shit. Anybody who was there who's listening to this podcast right now, if you want to reach out, let me know. Tennessee's AD, Danny White, not the same guy who played for the Cowboys, apologized after long lines delayed fan entry into Neyland Stadium for their clash against Georgia. Tennessee says it's reviewing traffic flow and will make adjustments to improve stadium ingress. I mean, if you're messed up on the ingress when people come in at all times before the game, hours ahead of time to try to get tailgating done, that's a real problem. Hour to exit the stadium is also bad. According to one person who went, awesome game Saturday, but this is one of the worst sporting events I've ever been to from an operation standpoint. Concessions out of water in the second quarter on a hot day. Close to an hour just to exit the stadium. Long entry lines, absolute nightmare. I don't want to excuse Tennessee because I don't know how they run their ops. But I got to believe that they know what a big crowd is like and what a hot September day is like. And you would think they'd be better at however much water we have, double it. Because it's not going to go bad. We'll just use it for the next home game. Order more water. And as far as how long does it take to get out of a stadium in which nobody leaves early because it's such a thrilling game that goes to overtime, 100,000 people, old college stadium infrastructure. I don't know what a good time to get out is, but it's going to take a while. Finally, there's this. Cracker Barrel has surrendered and surrendered totally. There is not any narration to this clip, but it's a video of workers removing the updated Cracker Barrel signage and taking down the interior redesign that woman with the big stupid glasses went on the Today Show to brag about just over a month ago. They didn't just bring back the old logo. They didn't just vow to not change over any of their restaurants beyond the ones they had already converted. They're going back and undoing all this stuff at great expense and filming videos of it and putting it on social media. They said, like any good relationship, sometimes you just need a little tune-up. We're going back to the things that made us fall in love in the first place. Boy, I wish I knew what has become of that marketing woman who was so proud of the redesign. Oh, our customers love it. Our stores love it. They're asking us, when can we get a redesign? No, that's done. If I know anything about corporate fuckery, she's on leave, on a golden parachute leave plan, not missing any paychecks, and she's going to pop up somewhere else. All right, that's it for me today. Game one is in the books. What a win for the Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. Another game to come. I am going to watch that as long as I can till I fall asleep. Thank you for listening and for being a Zabecast loyalist. This song is playing because My morning show in Milwaukee is going to have Sunburn Bowl 7 coming up in February, and I want everybody a part of it. If you live in and around Milwaukee or the Wisconsin area and you're already thinking about it, like, I should go on that trip because it looks awesome, well, the answer is yes, it is awesome. And of course you should go, because life is short and tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. We're going to be at the Hyatt Vivid Grand in Cancun, and we're going to have an amazing week. Rooftop broadcasts every morning at the exclusive lounge that we have access to. Wayne Larrabee, the longtime voice of the Packers, will join us on the trip. He is so fun, outside of the booth, and he's going to have lots of great stories about the Packers, the NFL, and his days of calling the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. We got my human ball of hype, Armin Sarian, along as well. So come one, come all. Go to 973thegame.com. Look for the link to sign up on the page. And don't dally, because there's a deadline coming up in October, and I don't want you to miss out on Sunburn Bowl 7. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, everyone, and we will see you next time. Just another day. Sit right here and have another beer in Mexico. Let the warm air melt these blues away. You know football, and you pick winners all the time. So why not get paid for them at MyBookie? Bet single game spreads, money lines, or parlays to increase your payouts. Low contest entry fees and over $500,000 to be won. Make it so you don't have to be a pro gambler to have fun. Getting started is easy. Just visit mybookie.ag and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit to secure a double deposit bonus. That's promo code Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first deposit matched dollar for dollar, all the way up to $1,000. MyBookie is a proven sports book that makes it simple to bet and to win. So make this your winning season, exclusively at MyBookie.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Amid, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.